Hello and welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Before we jump into a discussion of our sound writing assignment, we want to take a second to introduce ourselves. My name is Jasmine Lee, and I'm an assistant professor of English at the California State University, San Bernardino. My primary research interests include rhetorical education, affect, and cultural critique. Through my work, I often find myself coming back to popular culture and YA, or young adult fiction, and youth culture in particular. You may have noted that my list does not include sound studies or sound writing. The fact is that the assignment that we're sharing with you today was actually my first foray into sound writing as a scholar and as a teacher. The same is true for my co-author, whom you'll meet in just a second. Though we are sound writing rookies, we're excited to share this pedagogical practice with you because we are excited about what sound added to our experiences teaching rhetorical production and composing strategies to our students. Before we get too far into that, though, meet Jennifer.
And I'm Jennifer Gerasi, a PhD student and teaching assistant. My primary research is in Latino literature and life writing, and I teach composition courses focusing on rhetoric and research writing. Although my primary research is not in sound, I found that our experiences with students on this podcast episode project aligns very well with many of the objectives of rhetoric and research writing classes that I teach. Over the next 10 minutes, we'll tell you about the context for this podcasting assignment, how we help students to prepare and produce their episodes, and what worked well for us, and what we might try differently the next time we teach this class. We should talk a bit about what our podcast assignment involved and the context in which we taught it. I say contexts, plural, because we taught this assignment in very different kinds of classes.
Yes, good point. The sound writing assignment that we're sharing with you here comes from courses that Jennifer and I taught together at the University of California, Irvine, where we were graduate student colleagues. The curricular details about this assignment are a bit complex, but in short, it might suffice to say that Jennifer and I taught two different kinds of classes attached to a large lecture course on YA fiction. Jennifer's classes functioned as discussion sections for the large lecture, and my class functioned as a separate four-unit writing and rhetoric course. Because of this setup, Jennifer and I had different amounts of time with our students, a different number of students, and different learning objectives in our classes. We nonetheless shared this assignment, which we designed and developed with the professor teaching the large lecture course and two other TAs who taught their own sections of the attached writing courses. We wanted to share our experience in this collection because despite the very different context that we taught our project in, our students in both cases really shined. We think that their successes speak to the flexibility, adaptability, and the great potential of sound writing projects across a variety of courses. When we began designing our classes, I think we had some reservations about sound writing. Podcasting was an intimidating new medium for us, and we were worried that we might not have the time or the technological know-how to guide students through the project, or that we and our students might get overwhelmed by the media production aspects and lose sight of our course goals. But we're happy to report that those anxieties proved unfounded.
You're also getting a sense of our students' work right now. We've borrowed some of their successful strategies in our own podcast introduction recording and used them here in our own reflection. This introductory structure, the music you heard at the top of our reflection, and the organization of our reflection intro sections into sections, and the sound effect transition are all features of our students' podcasts.
That's a great point, Jennifer. I guess we should also say a little bit more about this specific sound writing project, right? So our sound writing assignment, YA on the Air, asked students to work in groups to collaboratively produce one episode of a podcast series. In my course, students could imagine their own podcast series and produce one episode from that series. And most students chose to address young readers as their audience, but the rhetorical purposes of their podcast series and episodes differed widely.
In the class I taught, students created one episode. But the objectives behind creating that episode was to inform a student population, a high school student population in our area. So they were very conscious of some of the course requirements for this particular district of high school students. And they also had a visit from some of the teachers of those high school students.
Right. The authenticity of this project, I think, really helped students cultivate a deeper understanding of rhetorical decision making. But I don't think it was just the framework of the task that mattered in the project. Sound opened up a new dimension to the way that we and our students thought about and talked about rhetorical work and composing. I, for one, really enjoyed watching my students work with a more embodied understanding of authorship. In the writing courses that I've taught that did not involve sound, I'd sort of given up over the years in talking about voice. Voice felt kind of like a jargon teacher writing-oriented word. And I knew that if I wanted to talk about voice, I actually meant that I wanted to talk about something about where style and ethos and perspective and how you engage with and relate to an audience all met. But just saying voice didn't always help me communicate that to my students. In this sound writing project, though, there was something more direct and literal about talking to students about voice. Jennifer, what stood out to you about sound writing with your students?
Students working with sound are more attuned to the minute complexities of, literally, their every word or pause. And through recording and audio playback, they're able to see more clearly how each decision they make communicates meaning to their auditors. To me, asking students to produce episodes and to really think of them as publishable, real sound projects aligns with the objectives of process-based writing instruction. Students had to envision their audience, come up with a project idea, and the language, sound, and structure to execute it. And they revised their episodes based on group and instructor feedback. One of the most beneficial takeaways of this sound project with students was that it gave them an opportunity to slow down and think differently about their projects. Like I said before, they're thinking about their language and pause, sound effects and music if they're using any, and it's also helping them to think about the tone of their voices, the moods that they're creating through their episode, how they're going to introduce and talk about the complex terms that we went over in the lecture course, and which literary text they're going to talk about, and how they're going to be able to relay their analysis to an audience.
Yes, yes to all of that. So something that Jennifer and I have talked about a lot when we've been putting this chapter together is how interesting we find it that sound, or more specifically, introducing sound writing into our classes, did important work in both of our very different learning contexts. What we found most valuable about sound writing was different for each of us. Sound writing helped students engage with concepts more deeply in each of our classes, but what those concepts were weren't necessarily always the same. So I know that I will definitely incorporate sound writing again in a different class at my new institution, in part because of how exciting and I think productive sound writing and composing with sound was in this course. In our chapter, you'll find a whole host of scaffolding activities that we used between our two courses in setting up this project. So if you're thinking about doing your own podcast episode project in a class that you teach, please feel free to take from this archive, change activities, mix them up, leave out what doesn't work for you. And we'd love to hear if you use or any adapt of these materials and what happens with them.
Well, we're about out of time for this reflection, and we want to thank you all for taking interest in our sound writing project. We hope our experiences are useful to you as you design and implement your own podcast episode units in your classes. Happy sound writing.
Happy sound writing. Bye-bye. Jennifer and I would like to thank Jonathan Alexander, the professor who initiated and taught the large lecture course at the center of this project, for his excitement about new media composing and for inviting us to be a part of this innovative course. The podcast episode project would not have been what it was without the smart work of our teaching colleagues, Fran Soufim and Taylor McCabe. We are grateful for the opportunity to share this work and to the generous feedback that we received from the editors of this collection. Lastly, I would like to express my gratitude to the Faculty Center for Excellence and the Institute for Child Development and Family Relations at CSUSB for providing some of the research support that enabled me to work on this chapter.